Last Sunday evening, we laid a foundation concerning the fact that the purpose of the Bible is to instruct us. And while it is not my plan to review the scriptures that we use to establish that foundation, I do, at the beginning of this lesson tonight, want to reconsider Luke 8 and verse 18. Therein the Lord said, therefore take care how you listen. That proves to us that there are varying ways that we can listen. And if we are to take care how we listen, then it is incumbent upon us to consider those ways of listening that will be most productive in the understanding and the retention of God's Word. They are, from a major standpoint, the same kinds of things that one might learn in school as to ways to listen to an instructor to maximize the possibility of scoring well on an examination. The difference, of course, is that the examination that you and I will face is one of eternal consequence. Not only that, the examination that you and I face in this life is one that will either provide blessings from God or a life of difficulty in following Satan, who does not have our best interest at heart. So there are ways that we're going to talk about to listen to God's Word that will help us. The passage that we saw in Luke 8 is augmented in our mind by a passage in Ezra, the 7th chapter and verse 10. In talking about the success of Ezra in his relationship with God, who delivered a message to the people of Israel, Ezra 7 and 10 says, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel the statutes and judgments. Not only did Ezra prepare his heart, but it's told to us that that preparation included a desire to seek, to look for, to examine. Not just to hear, but to look for something in God's Word. And not only to look for something, but when we find it, to do it. That's the disposition that I hope that we came here with tonight, is a desire to see those things that will help us to seek God's Word and to motivate us to do His Word in the light of eternity. Let's then get busy with regard to some things that we can do with God's Word, dispositions of our mind that are conducive to study. Remember, we've already established the fact that the Bible is to be studied. Study to show thyself approved. I might just stop here and say that while Brad may influence my mind, he doesn't control it. And while Judy may have more of an influence on my mind than Brad does, she doesn't control it. I control my mind. Until we grasp the fact of individual accountability, all of these things don't work. Because if we are not accountable for our own mind, then it is so easy to escape into the excuse making when we are not successful and blame it on whoever it is we perceive to control our mind. I guarantee you that in judgment, the Lord will understand the fact that Rick controlled his own mind. I'll also guarantee you that the things that Rick heard the things that he studied while formulating his spiritual character, if that includes lessons from this pulpit that I preach, I will share a responsibility in that. That's why the Lord warns there not be many teachers. That's a scary thing. That makes it incumbent on you, not just David Sparks and Glenn Joy and the other elders, but those who are within the hearing of my voice. It makes it responsible for checking the things that are taught to ascertain their source. And if they're found to be from me rather than from the Lord, give them the appropriate weight. Believe those things that come from God's Word. Check the things that are said and the applications that are said, whether it's me or Jason or Alan or Dale or whoever's presenting. Check the things that are said to see the source. And from that information, weight the value of the message. A disposition that will help us in our study is to listen reverently. In 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter and verse 15, the scriptures are called sacred writings. New American Standard Version. King James says, holy scriptures. So what we're talking about here is something above and beyond the physical. We're talking about something holy and divine and sacred. Do you remember when Moses saw the burning bush? And he started to approach that. And the Lord said, take what? Off your shoes, because you're standing on what? Holy ground. It was holy ground because the Lord was present. And Moses fell on his what? Face. Because of the respect that he had for God. When we approach the Word, when we approach the Scriptures, they are sacred writings. They are holy writings. They are from God information. I am convinced that if Jack and I were together and all of a sudden a burning bush appeared and a voice came as it did to Moses, take off your shoes for you are walking on sacred ground, that it would affect our behavior. I guarantee you. It would affect our behavior. That's not going to happen because those days are past. And according to the New Testament, it is faith now that propels us to have the same kind of respect for the words in that book as Moses had with the bush. That's hard to do. Because those words are more common than seeing a bush that's burning but doesn't burn up. But God knows that Brian and I have had the advantage of reading about the bush and reading about all of these miraculous things and seeing the whole picture presented, the mind of God. We've had that advantage, and God says, Brian, you and Ken, believe. Pretty direct order. Listen reverently to God's word. In 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, they are called the word of God. Incidentally, it's Exodus, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 5, 1 through 6 actually, that talks about the reaction of Moses to the Word of God. God called to him. God said, I am the God of thy father. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. So tonight you've heard some scriptures. You've heard the Word of God as he related those things read from 1 Timothy 3 and 15 and 1 Thessalonians 2 and 13 and Exodus 3 verse 1 through 6. How reverent were you in your mind to that message? You know what? We've got to come up with a way to press out those things that interrupt the reception of God's Word. Or we won't get the impact and the desired results. Second, we have to believe the Bible. Not just the parts that are convenient, but all of God's Word. Samuel displays the type of disposition that we should have toward God's Word. Listen to 1 Samuel 3, verse 9 and 10. And Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you shall say, speak, Lord, for thy servant is listening. So Samuel went and laid down in his place. And then the Lord came and stood and called as other times, Samuel! Boy, I just got to wonder if that was me laying there and I heard the Lord say, Ken. You ever wondered that? You ever put yourself in those shoes? That is an awesome feeling. And Samuel said, speak, Lord, for thy servant is listening. So now we know, Teresa, when we pick up God's Word, our disposition is, speak, Lord, for thy servant is listening. That just puts the Word of God in a whole different category than any of the other information in Jan's library. It's sacred. We may not always understand the whys of the things that we read. In Deuteronomy, the 29th chapter and verse 29, the Bible says the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of the law. Not to understand a command in the Bible is not reason to disbelieve it. I heard it said one time, and I don't remember who said it. It is not the things that I don't understand in the Bible that concerns me. It's the things I do understand. There are some things, some weighty things, it seems, in the Bible. What was in the ark? David, there are some things. Don't answer. Wednesday night, you can answer. There are some things. Who wrote Hebrews? Or Ecclesiastes? There are some things that bring about questions there are no biblical answers to. But that has absolutely no bearing on the belief of those things, because it is sacred scriptures. It is the holy word. And if someone says, why do you believe something? The answer is, because God said it. That's why. Now, I may have more information than that. I may understand, as some that are smarter than me understand, the symbolism within the scriptures. But it doesn't affect the belief. The belief is absolute because the messenger is absolute. Is that narrow-minded? Absolutely. Does that fit within the framework of some systems of education concerning the freedom of man to express one's... Yeah, absolutely. But it matters not. God is wiser than man. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. I've said it before, I'll probably say it again more times than you'll want. There's a bumper sticker. I read bumper stickers. I've read bumper stickers where there's more students that are honor students than there are children in the United States. There's a bumper sticker. It says, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. That's wrong. God said it, that settles it. Another disposition of mine that is conducive to study, is working at it. Be ready to exert yourself. Set aside a time for your Bible study. I guarantee you, if you're 15 minutes late for your tee time at the average golf course in Phoenix, you'll lose your tee time. It's gone. You can't walk up with your clubs and a nice disposition and say, look, I'm only 15 minutes late. Tell those people on the tee that I'm here and let me play through. Try it. Because there's a time. We need to set aside a time for Bible study. The frequency of that time will be directly related to the importance that we put on Bible study. The further down it goes on the list of priorities, the less importance we associate with Bible study. Work at it. When you study the Bible, be attempting to live a moral life. In Matthew, the 13th chapter, verse 14 and 15, Christ quotes Isaiah to show that a gross heart, a heart that disregards God's instruction, prevents understanding. This is how Matthew 13, verse 14 and 15 reads. And in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. And you will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear. And they have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart. We must have integrity to study the Bible honestly. The fortitude and the strength to follow what we learn. And that is a self-imposed direction. It is not a self-identified direction, for the Scriptures teach us the direction of moral purity. But we cannot be a reprobate. We cannot be a soldier for the devil except for our study time and expect to understand the Scriptures. It will not happen. Our heart will be glossed over with a hardness that comes from our relationship with Satan, and the Word will not penetrate it the way it will if we live right. So then we have motivation, don't we? If our objective is to have the right kind of study that affects our disposition and our spiritual destination, then we have motivation to live a pure life. And when we come upon those situations outside of Bible study time that will identify us with Satan rather than with the Lord, we avoid those because we want to keep a heart that's receptive to God's Word. Only we can do that. We can do it for ourselves. We must have a desire for truth. There are those that pick up the Bible to prove a belief rather than to establish a belief. When we study the Scriptures, it is to establish a belief. We think everyone in the world, except members of the Church of Christ, have their prejudices, base their beliefs on tradition. They do that. But we are pure. Boy, that is naive. And we can prove that by changing the order of services and see the outcry. We can prove that in so many ways that we have traditions. And there's nothing wrong with doing things the same way until we place doing them the same way as being scriptural and doing them some other way within the realm of judgment is non-scriptural. We must open the Bible to arrive at truth. The truth is important to have. Proverbs 23 and verse 23 from the mouth of Solomon that we've been studying on in our classes, who asked God for wisdom and was given an overabundance of wisdom and was declared by God to be the wisest person on earth. In Proverbs 23 and 23, buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Error can never be a substitute for truth. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. In Matthew 13 and 45, truth is compared to a pearl. In Matthew 13 and 44, it's compared to a great treasure. And those comparisons were made by Jesus when talking about the kingdom of heaven. God will permit those who don't have a love for truth to believe error. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 10 through 12. We must expect to understand when we study. Ephesians, the third chapter, verse 3, beginning, that by revelation there was made known unto me the mystery as I wrote before in brief. And by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the spirits. There is not one passage of Scripture in the entire Bible necessary to salvation that cannot be understood by every single person that is accountable to the Bible. Not one. In order to study appropriately, we need to intend when we study to do the things that we learn from our study. We've already seen in Matthew the 7th chapter, verse 21, beginning that being the case. Augment that by Luke the 6th chapter in verse 46, where Jesus said, "And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" In James 1 and verse 25, the Bible says, "But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effective doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does." Now, there may be other dispositions that you know that will make study more effective. But I submit to you that there are seven. I also submit to you that there's a passage of Scripture that's very interesting in Acts 17 and verse 11. It's talking about a couple of first century congregations. And it's interesting to put the word Monte Vista in both of those instances. What if we were writing about congregations today? What if Acts 17:11 says, "These were more noble-minded than those at Monte Vista, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so." That would be a pretty harsh criticism. I'm not saying that that would be the case. There might be someone else's name where Monte Vista is in that text. But I assure you the comparison was made in the inspired Word of God. And the difference between those being compared was the study of God's Word with eagerness and regularity to see if the things that they were studying and being taught were true. I admonish you to, with me, on a regular basis, though separated by time and space, be a student of God's Word. Prepare yourself to be the kind of educated Christian that God expects when He revealed His Word. He didn't conceal His Word. He revealed His Word to you and I. Take out your songbook that you have before you and turn to the number that's been given as a song of invitation. We invite you tonight, if you are not a Christian, to become one. To set aside the life of the world and focus on the life that is identified and revealed by the Word of God to be a child of the Lord. We provide for you this time to make a statement concerning your belief in Jesus Christ based upon your study of God's Word. Repent of your sins. Follow a new path. Let that path be the pathway that leads to life. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and live a life that is given to you in the Word of God as a blueprint for salvation. We invite you to come while we stand and sing.